I will give her exactly one moment.
I'm good.
Do we want to do roll call? Well, I will just note that everyone here is except Judy Hunt. Is that acceptable?
Yeah. That's fine.
Amy by phone, but she's here. Her voice is here. She's here.
Yes.
So, public comment, anybody wish to speak? There's only one item on the agenda, and that's giving our interim director authority to close the libraries. Sure.
I would like to actually ask a question, because my sense of it is I would like to hear from what the staff of the library, what their concerns are. I have a statement, but I would like to have my statement be contingent upon the sense of the library and what the staff of the library.
I'm not sure we have time for that. San Francisco Library is already shut. Oakland shut down yesterday. Everybody's shutting down. We don't have time to do a survey.
Okay, I just thought there might be a representative here is all I was asking.
Do you have a statement to make, though?
My statement is just that I would like to have the library take into consideration, if they may, that since the schools are closed and we're asked to maintain that social distance, that there's a lot of people in the city who can't afford to buy books or buy books on tape or buy CDs during the time that we're expected to keep the social distancing. And so even if it's just to have the online capability of people to be able to get e-books or such online, that would be very helpful for our population.
Noted, and I will talk to the director. Sure, we will talk to the director about that possibility.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, Amy, go.
Could I ask people to identify themselves?
Oh, yeah,
My name is Mary Ann Furda, and I'm a Berkeley resident. My name is Mary Ann Furda, and I'm a Berkeley resident.
Thank you.
And I guess contiguous to that, if there's any way that there might be online training to be able to teach folks who are Berkeley Library card holders how to do the e-book protocol so that they can get the e-books, that would be quite helpful.
Thank you. Will there be information online about that on the website?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We already have information online.
Okay.
And Mary Ann, just to address specifically, that those are great ideas and that we will be spending time magnifying the huge array of e-books and e-audiobooks that we have. So I really appreciate that.
Anybody else?
Is it in order for union comments or?
If there's no other public comment, I don't think there is.
Okay.
Go ahead. Well, sure, you're part of the public. Sure.
I'm part of the public, yeah. I'm Andrea Malarkey. I'm an SEIU 10-to-1 shop steward. I'm also a teen librarian over at Taria Helping in South Branch. And as some of folks probably know, the union is currently in a meet and confer process with the city about responses to COVID-19. And we expect that the library will honor agreements made at that table and so on and so forth. But in the meantime, I wanted to say that I appreciate you're all here physically and virtually on a Saturday considering the best course of action for our libraries. And I know that you are thinking carefully about how best to maintain service to the community while also promoting public health. And I want to further underscore that these are really two just like really fundamental priorities for our members and for the union as well. Of course, this is always the balance. And I'm also here to remind you that we have to protect library workers. We have to protect the workers who are working to protect our community. And this is an opportunity for the library to step up and support the workers who are serving the public. We are on the front line working to respond to this emergency. Librarians, paraprofessionals, library staff, along with all of city staff. And as library workers, we risk exposure and illness through our regular work, and we have taken on increased risks of exposure as we take on additional cleaning duties and tasks. You all are quite aware that we interface with a very diverse public, including people of all ages, all health and housing statuses, all economic and cultural backgrounds, and we do it in spaces, physical spaces, designed to be shared. The whole premise of the library is sharing, and I think we can all agree that COVID-19 is not something we really want to be sharing. And we work hard as library workers to follow social distancing guidelines, but whether it's angry patrons leaving spittle on our faces when they shout at us, or really loving toddlers spontaneously hugging us after story times, it's inevitable that library workers face exposure. And we in turn then risk exposing the diverse community that we serve. I've heard from a lot of staff this morning. I got in at 9 a.m. and in the 4 hours that I've been here, I've heard from 8 different people. Mind you, there are only 3 people at my workplace today. So people are calling. The risks are real for staff, and they're real for the families and communities that we belong to. And for the number of staff who are part of vulnerable populations, whether because of age or health conditions, health backgrounds, and for the family members who are in these populations, we would just ask you to please seriously consider these risks as you weigh in balance and the possibility that we transfer those risks back out to the community. And further, we want to urge you to consider the economic impact to workers of whatever decision you're about to make. What we know is that when we put economic stress on people, bad decisions get made. And if we put economic stress onto workers, if they face the loss of wages or medical benefits, they are far more likely to come to work sick, exposing other workers and jeopardize the health and safety of the communities that they're in and the response of the whole community at large. Fundamentally, we believe that workers should not have to choose between the economic realities of rent and food on the one hand versus their safety, the safety of their coworkers, families, and the whole community on the other. So I'm sure these are not things that you haven't considered, but they are foremost in our minds as we think about ourselves as workers trying to balance public health against service. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. I want to note for Amy particularly, but for every and for the record, that Judy Hunt, trustee Judy Hunt, just arrived. So we're all 5 of us are here. Amy's here by phone, virtually.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. The agenda doesn't have board comments, but does any? I don't mind somebody making a quick comment if somebody has a quick comment. Anybody? All right, good. As I said earlier, San Francisco Public Library, Oakland Public Library. I just heard this morning that the YMCA, downtown YMCA, is closing all child-oriented programs for at least a week, assessing what risks there are. Places are closing, and that's going to continue. It's only going to escalate. And as I pointed out earlier, we are, everything I've read, we're 2 weeks behind Italy. If people know where Italy is right now, that's a really chilling thought to me. So we have to take this seriously. We have one action item. This is not actually closing the libraries yet, okay? I want everybody to be aware of that. What this is authorizing, the board is the only one that can authorize that, but we're authorizing the interim director to close if and when he sees the need to do that, okay?
So one thing to point out is that one of our trustees made a suggestion that we incorporated into an alternative resolution to be considered by the board. Do you have a copy of that?
You all have a copy of it attached to the new agenda.
In this, or yes. Oh, this is,
no,
yeah.
This. I don't think I have that.
That packet, doesn't that have the new?
No, it doesn't. Maybe I just didn't get a copy of it.
I don't have.
Well, which is
the? This is.
The oh, oh, is that the new resolution?
Yeah.
So we supplied
it's a totally new packet.
Okay, I see. So if you turn to the attachment one, the resolution, rather than say adopt a resolution to direct the library to, or to authorize the library to close. I don't remember the exact wording, but to close the library, instead it says authorize director of library services to take necessary actions to align library services and public access to facilities with goals and methods recommended by the public health officials during declared state of emergency. So it does the same thing in de facto, however it provides a little more authority to take whatever actions are necessary as conditions change.
Right.
So that if there is another, say the public health officers decides nobody should be in the library buildings, even if they're closed to the public, then I don't need to bring the board together to make to take further action, or whatever recommendation is made, whether at the state or local level.
Okay. Go ahead, Sophie.
Yeah, so thank you very much. The changes, although not the exact wording, but the idea of the changes were at my suggestion, which is that I thought the original resolution was very, very narrowly tailored towards authorizing the library director to only take one type of action, and kind of paralleling the delegations of emergency authority that the city gives, which are much broader even than this. I thought we ought to provide the library director with more flexibility to act quickly on the, you know, taking into consideration the rapidly changing situation. And I did also bring in, that's why I was a couple minutes late, I apologize, working from home, my technology did not work, and my printer died and had to be reconstituted, but, so I only have 5 copies of this. And I gave you one, right?
Yes.
I can put one, we can maybe put one for, sorry, I know, yeah, for the public to take a look at. But all this is a copy of what the city has done, because I thought we might actually want to see what the city has done. Amy, if you want to look at this, it is, if you go to the agendas, council agendas on the city website, for the 3/10 council meeting, it's the first item. So it is something that's available publicly, but I didn't know if my colleagues had a chance to see it, which is why I brought copies, because I wanted to make sure that we're giving enough authority for the library director to be nimble and for us not to have to keep coming back to meetings. At the agenda committee meeting, we had an urgency agenda committee meeting on Thursday. The agenda committee ratified or endorsed action that the city manager has already taken, and basically just asked that that actions that she takes be brought to the city council later for ratification. In other words, not that she had to call us together, that she could take action, but that for purposes of transparency and public knowledge of actions that we take, that actions taken be reported back. They don't have to be formally ratified, but that they be presented at a council meeting. And the council is having a special meeting this Tuesday to consider a variety of other things. As you can imagine, they're cascading literally every half hour. I have a new email with a new concern that we may be addressing at that meeting. But I think we should give rather broad authority under these circumstances. I do want to say that it is my understanding that none of the actions being taken by the city or by the library involve a reduction in staff hours or pay of any kind. Mm-hmm. So what is being talked about is reducing public services, but my understanding is that there are ample tasks for our staff to be engaged with, whether they are their regular assigned duties or they may be, if I understand correctly, they may be reassigned. And of course, the city has a lot of safety protocols that are being put in place very quickly. So I just really want to clarify that this is not about taking work away from staff. It's about keeping the facility open to the public.
And what has been the policy about staff members who want to take sick leave, vacation leave, leave without pay, especially now that kids are home and needs?
So, yeah, I can answer a lot.
Good.
And I'm just going to put that off for a moment to address a number of things, but I want to make sure to talk about that.
Okay.
A couple points that Councilmember Hahn made are very much correct related to work. The city workers remain city workers. The library has a lot to do, and one of the things that was touched upon is the amount of resources and services that we can do virtually, and opportunities to do more. We've known that for a long time. However, our everyday work of working with the public sometimes makes it actually challenging to do these larger picture things. So we're also looking at this perhaps as an opportunity to get some of the goals that staff have wanted to do, whether it's doing more publicity, more marketing, more videos of trainings and things that so to really help people use the resources we have. So there are lots of opportunities to work. We have, if we are to close, the idea is that staff would be expected to come in and do work. Now there's a couple things to point out that we also do is we answer a lot of phone calls from the public, and we expect those to increase as we close. So we need to have staff available to interact with the public. We can also set up other kinds of ways to do that via chat, via email. So there are lots of opportunities to continue to interact, and social distancing is isolating. So we know that lots of people use their experience, their daily interactions with our staff as one of their main forms of having a social interaction. That's going to continue if varied. However, there is a lot of pressure on people right now related to the fact that they have childcare needs. We have people who we've already provided directions to people, and the city has provided directions, and this is throughout all the publicity about COVID-19, to stay home if sick, or if your kid is sick, to stay home. So we're already seeing pressure with a lot of people taking sick leave. The city has, you know, the city has a memorandum of understanding and agreement with the unions related to sick leave, where we provide very generous sick leave benefits, and a lot of people, you know, so our staff are able to use that. We are also offering, and the city has just enacted a teleworking policy, and we have offered teleworking to a number of staff, and we're going to be increasing that. There are certain staff who can do their vital work using a VPN on a laptop and providing software. However, we don't have, first of all, we don't have 20, 30, 40 laptops available, so we're purchasing more. And not all staff's basic core responsibilities can be done in that way. So for those that have, we've already provided assignments, so some staff will be working from home, not necessarily their entire shifts. This is in order to reduce social distancing. However, we also know that some people have other responsibilities that this will facilitate. We're trying to be as flexible as possible with people. And as people, supervisors are on a case-by-case working basis working with staff who have other pressures on them related to caretaking. So with the if we are to close, it will be easier to do that because much of the pressure that we have in the library has to do with scheduling for different shifts, making sure that we have enough people at any given time to answer questions at each of the service desks, the reference desk, children's desk. There's going to be a little less pressure on that. So we do foresee being able to be more flexible. The other element of it that was mentioned has to do with the fact that we don't know yet what the city will, we don't know what the city's needs are currently, and we certainly don't know what the city's needs are moving forward as conditions change. So what we have is we have staff in the library who are members of EEOC, and I'm in close contact being invited to the senior leadership team meetings so that we can share information, ensure that we're following similar protocols and practices, and that we can make staff available if need be. Obviously, this decision hasn't been made yet, so we haven't been able to say, here's what our conditions are. And we don't know exactly what those conditions will be in 3 or 4 days. Things have been moving so quickly.
On that point, the testing has really only ramped up in the last week, and my anecdotal knowledge is that it takes about 6 days for the test to come back.
That's changed.
So yeah, it's not overnight. It's not like one of those rapid tests. So my point is that with testing having sort of just finally become a little more widely available in Berkeley. There was drive-through testing at Sutter Health on Milvia. I have anecdotal, people have told me, I'm in touch with someone whose whole family is not well. They do not know what they have, but they were trying to be tested for a while and they finally got tested about 2 days ago. So I think in a week, all of a sudden, we're going to have a lot more information. And then I think the city will have a better understanding of what we are dealing with in real time in Berkeley. Right now, you know, we only have these one confirmed case in Berkeley and one that we are responsible for that may and may not be in Berkeley. I do not know if that second person is in Berkeley, but our health department is responsible for tracking that person. So, you know, I do not have any official information different from that, but with my private citizen hat on, one imagines that we are going to learn something different when those numbers, when the testing starts coming through. So the part of, again, coming back to why I would like to expand this resolution is because everything is changing so fast that I don't want our library director to be dragged down by the need to call us together to take action. So I did also bring, I don't want to let everybody paw through it because I'm using it a lot right now, but really just wanted people to understand that this binder is the city's emergency response binder. We have big, fat policies and plans that have been in place for a long time that we review on a regular basis that tell us what to do in these types of emergencies. And we have a variety of legislation that is relevant to this question. So the city manager, the city, the council, these bodies, these institutions are not making it up as they go in terms of chains of command, what types of actions can be taken, who is included in the decision making. All of this has been thought about, prepared, planned for long ago. And the general way that these things work is that the executive director, the CEO, the city manager is delegated a lot of authority to act. But I also, you know, I really want people to understand that this is not, they're not acting in a vacuum. They're acting within very, very prescribed protocols. And all of this information is available online. People usually don't go looking for it. But if people want to see all this documentation, all the authority, some of these are state mandated. We have to have these plans in place. So I just don't want members of the public to think that managing a disorderly situation is internally done in a disorderly way. It is not. Our internal workings are very orderly and prescribed. It's what's coming at us that is that comes quickly and rapidly evolving and is changing. So I just want to provide that security to people that when we do these types of delegations, it's in a context.
So where is the city with this? I mean, it feels like the Berkeley Unified School District has decided to close.
They were on spring break, yeah, and they're just extending that, essentially.
I urge people to look at, people are getting a lot of their news, national news, and they read articles that are done by people who have a national point of view. But we do have also an existing apparatus, states and counties primarily. Berkeley is unusual. We are one of either the only or one of only two, I hear
true,
it
I believe.
Both ways,
yeah.
cities in California that has its own health department, public health department. So we're lucky. We have a public health officer. And again, that is a prescribed title with state-mandated duties and state-mandated qualifications. So we have our own who is looking just at Berkeley. She coordinates with Alameda County and all the counties and the state people and the federal, they're all communicating. But I think it's important to realize that the decisions that are being made in Alameda County and in Berkeley are based on our local and regional conditions. And every community in the United States, let alone the world, is at a different inflection point on addressing the crisis. So we are looking at everything, but and some of the decisions that are being made, it's like 2 days later we make them, but people say, oh my God, you're late. It's rapidly evolving. Our emergency operations center, that's what the EOC is, and it's prescribed in here. They are taking the advice from our health officer and from Alameda County. They're not taking their advice from the internet. So that's why you see differences in what Berkeley might be doing and other jurisdictions. And by the way, I do not believe that our health officer asked the schools to close. So that's a decision that was made independent and may and may not reflect the current assessment of risk in Berkeley.
I'm gonna pause for a minute. Amy, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, although I feel we've wandered far afield from the resolution.
Well, there was a little bit of explanation. Does anybody, yeah. Judy.
First, I'd like to apologize and share the reason why I was running late this morning. The situation and the concerns that the union rep brought forward are the same concerns local churches are having, where we're congregate, an area for congregate. And we also are very concerned, we discussed, that's one of the reasons why I was late, we had discussions around ministries to vulnerable populations, particularly homeless populations and folks who act out. I think I heard our union rep share concerns about people spitting in someone's face, and that is a risk factor, particularly to volunteers. So our local church, with our health professionals in the congregation, were discussing specific things that we can do, and ushers have been trained. We will no longer be passing the collection plate. Communion will be individual. We'll take it in our pews and social distancing. So there are a number of things that we're doing as a local congregation. I was wondering if the health officer is considering giving our staff, like the library staff, who interact with, and this is a whole site for a number of people who have behavioral health issues and concerns, if they're being given some guidance on things that they can do in terms of social distancing, masks and gloves and that kind of thing. While we don't want to turn people off, it is real that people have their concerns around the virus, particularly it can stay in the air for a number of hours and the like. Is that being considered?
Well, I want to address a little both what you said, and I didn't really respond entirely to Diane, but they're related. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind everybody that the library, Berkeley Public Library, is a department of the city, and we work very closely with Human Resources Department. Human Resources Department has a couple people who are occupational health mm-hmm. officers and provide recommendations. They are experts on OSHA guidelines and provide such information to us on a regular basis. Obviously, conditions are changing very, very quickly, and the CDC seems to be providing a new set of guidelines every 2 hours, right? In terms of personal protective equipment and the COVID-19 situation, there are some specific guidelines that I've read that are related mostly to healthcare workers and public safety officers and the use of PPE, nothing specific to teachers, librarians, and other kinds of city workers. However, we have also been distributing all kinds of basic gear to our staff in the last week or two. I didn't go into all the different things that we've done. I've sent them emails to you, but one of those is we've made nitrile gloves available to all staff. We've provided antiseptic wipes to all staff. We've also instructed staff to use antiseptic wipes on all hard surfaces, keyboards, mice, touch screens, counters that are used by many people twice a day. And that is an assignment not, you know, we tend to think of things as staff and management. Everybody, all workers, me, down, everybody is doing this work. So it's all hands on deck. Masks have been specifically not recommended during this time for people other than sick people or people in healthcare environments. That's not my expertise, but it's been highlighted over and over by the health officers as well as the occupational health and safety officers. So we're not distributing those. Those aren't being distributed, as I understand it, by the city of Berkeley, and they're not being recommended other than for those kinds of workers. But the gloves are available to all. In terms of, and again, that goes the same with use of sick leave. Again, we follow the city. We don't act on, we don't make, have different policies than the rest of the city of Berkeley. So we follow guidance specifically from HR. And as it is, the big change that has occurred is that we're enabling people who run out of sick leave to use other leaves. That's not a normal thing in city practices. If I run out of sick leave and I'm sick, I'm not allowed to tap into my vacation or other accrued benefits in general. However, now we have, in order to incentivize people who are sick to stay home, we've enabled that. So people have really two plus pools of hours that they can use now, which facilitates it. Thirdly, if you are out of all of those, rather than fall into what we call unauthorized leave without pay, we are authorizing leave without pay. I know that doesn't address the issue of pay, but it does address the issue that people will not be disciplined for that. And oftentimes that is a disciplinary kind of situation because people are expected to be at work. And their leaves are what they can use to if they're unable to be at work.
Good, I didn't know those things, so
yeah.
Thanks.
Yes, indeed. And I appreciate your patience on that response.
All right, thank you. As I see it, we have the original proposed action item. We have an amended action item here. So I need a motion and a second on one or both or whatever people want to do. Sophie.
I'd like to make a resolution to author to approve the second version, the most recent version, the amended version.
Yes.
With a few additional amendments. I'm on the actual resolution page, and I'm in the now, therefore be it resolved part. On the second line, it says, authorizing the library director to take necessary actions, comma, including. I'd like to insert the word all after take, and it would read, authorizing the library to take director to take all necessary actions. And then down at the bottom in the last line, it says, particularly City of Berkeley Public Health Officer Lisa Hernandez, comma, during. And then I'd like to just put something a little more official in here. I would say the City of Berkeley's March 10, 2020 Proclamation of Local Emergency Services. And that is the exact title of the proclamation that was made. We may also want to reference the resolution. So I'll leave it up to the library director to put the official language in.
Sure.
But my resolution would be that it would be during the official language emergency.
All right, is that understood, Eve? You got the gist of that?
I see.
And you guys can work out the language. Is that understood?
That's my resolution. That's my.
So that was a motion.
That was a friendly amendment.
Yes.
Yes. The motion is to add the word "all."
Right.
And then after "during," to substitute more specific language that refers to the actual.
Yeah, the city of Berkeley, March 10th. But yes, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
I second.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
I second.
Judy seconds. Mm-hmm. You still with us, Amy?
I'm here.
Okay, we're gonna take a roll call vote.
Okay.
Can we finish Amy's discussing it?
No, sure, please. I'm sorry.
I think the thing that sort of is unsaid is that we need, while we don't know when and if the library will close, I think we need to prepare for the closure as quickly as possible. And so the instant that they say close, which I can't imagine that they won't, we're ready to announce it to staff and do it. It feels like this is just not a time to wait and wait and waste. You know, we're at risk of exposing our staff, exposing the public, exposing others around us, and I just think we have to move as quickly and resolutely as possible to protect everyone from this virus. And if that means social distancing, and we know it does, then we need to do it as quickly as possible.
Anybody else? Amy? Sophie? Amy, go.
No, I have nothing.
Sophie?
I would just like to, and not part of the actual resolution, but while we're still in official business, I raised this immediately with the city manager when sort of talk of shutting things down began. We do know that the library is an important place of refuge for our homeless population. And I did ask the city manager to consider what the impact of closure of our libraries would have on the unhoused. And I just would like to ask that Mr. Warren engage in those conversations with the city and our Health and Human Services, who I'm not sure always are aware of the volume of people who use the library, so that the closure of the library, for most of our patrons, it means they go home. But for some, it means they go back into an unsheltered day and night environment. And I just would hope that perhaps, I did ask on their end, but they have a lot of things to think about, and so do you, but I would ask that as part of this, the actions that you consider, that the space for, whether it's in the libraries or somewhere else, that space for our homeless to spend the day, if they can't spend day and night, be considered as one of the impacts.
I think we've done some inventive things, like keeping Wi-Fi up so people can be outside the buildings using those, and I hope we push those sorts of boundaries every way we can.
I respect what you're saying, and this has been a dilemma for a number of communities. My concern is, how will we coordinate and prepare for that with services that are available for homeless individuals, like the Veterans Center, shelters? That's a whole host of services for which we need to collaborate and consult before we take unilateral action. My concern, again, has to do with staffing, who's gonna do it, meals. There's a whole chain of events. So I would hope that perhaps the emergency services officer and those who currently provide services for the homeless have a plan B, C, D, and E as much as possible.
So one of the things if I may, address some kind of a little bit of each of what you say, is that in my discussions with the assistant city manager and the public health officer, we discussed some of these very things, and I want to say thank you to Councilmember Hong for bringing that to Dee's attention as well, because that is a role that we do play. One of the key things that we provide in the central library is access to water and bathrooms. And what I've requested of the Emergency Operations Center is to support us with installation of portable bathrooms outside this building and additional water, access to water outside this building specifically. There isn't a whole lot of bathroom access beyond the central library downtown, and we also want to mitigate any public health issues that would arise were there not to be any bathroom access. So that will come out of, to do so, we will use library funding to provide that support, and we have it. That's not going to be an issue. We can do it right out of our facilities budget. Secondly, we know that people will still be coming to this building whether or not we're open out of either, we can't get the word out to everybody. So we are going to be considering how to ensure that there's access to information. You know, we do a lot of distribution of information to people with service needs through our Berkeley Information Network to make those flyers as available as possible. We also have collaborations with a number of services already. Dorothy Day House, the Berkeley Free Clinic, Downtown Streets team, to ensure that our information that the city provides is distributed to those who need it beyond what HHCS is doing. You know, getting things from multiple sources and redundancy in these cases isn't a bad thing. So, this is all the sort of cocktail of stuff that we have to consider as we move forward, and we don't want the planning to get in the way of the doing. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a little bit of messiness when we first do this, and then it'll probably take a few days to straighten up.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I'd like to say I commend the library, the staff, Elliot, for thinking ahead, because it's clear that you've already got a lot of your ducks in a row. It would be wonderful if we didn't have to close, but I think if we think about the situation calmly but accurately, it seems to me inevitable. But good for you for getting things lined up.
Thank you.
I think the other thing is if we provide reference services, even when we're closed, it provides such great access to our clientele. Even though they can't come in, we can still give them viable, real information. And that's so important right now.
Yeah, and it's going to become more important, I think. Yeah. Judy, Amy, Diane, Sophie, anything else? Roll call vote.
Okay.
Trustee Hunt?
Yes.
Trustee Solovsky?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
And Trustee Hunt?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you all for coming on short notice. Thank you, Elliot, for putting this together and working on this week. And thank you all for coming as well. And stay safe.
Yes.
Stay well.
All right.
Stay
okay,
well.
Wash your hands.
And it really is not quite reassuring that that's the best medical advice we're getting.
Everything, all other illnesses are going to go down to zero as well.
I know, that's what I wonder.
No one's going to have a cold.